It's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
This is Monday Mocha with The Ginny Show, and this episode is designed to help you kickstart your Monday with a positive mindset, because how you start your week can really dip into the rest of the week. I'm joined by Lisa Hunter, who is the CEO and founder of Robert's Wish. Lisa, I'm just wondering, what is the first thing you do when you get out of bed on a Monday?
On a Monday morning, the first thing I do when I get out of bed is I make a cup of coffee.
Nice. Okay. So you make a cup of coffee. Is there any particular reason as to why you do that?
To get me going for the day. Mondays are usually long with a lot of meetings for me. So get up, make a cup of coffee, read the news, and get ready to leave for work.
Was there ever a time that you hated Mondays?
Probably when I was in school, when I had double maths.
Oh dear, the double math period. I do remember that. That was the worst.
Double maths. Hated it. So yes, if I had double maths on a Monday, I generally didn't like that Monday.
Right. It's funny how I've spoken to different people for the Monday Mocha episode, and people who didn't enjoy school, who later found out what they were good at and enjoyed in life and eventually became to be quite successful, one of the things that they said to me in a common theme was that they hated school. Do you think it was because you were forced into a structure that you didn't particularly like or abide by?
For me, no. I think for me, the reason I hated double maths was because the teacher was not very nice. So I think that's one of the reasons that I didn't like double maths. I happen to enjoy maths overall, well, algebra. But yeah, I think it stemmed from the teacher for me as to why I didn't like Monday maths.
Geez, some people say to me, oh, you can't really blame a teacher, it's your learning ability. But I actually am a firm believer that your teacher does influence how enthusiastic you are towards the subject.
Absolutely. I mean, I use math, you know, I have a job with a lot of numbers and a lot of calculations now, and I'm fine. But that teacher just, she just ruined Monday mornings and math for me for a year.
There you go, guys. So if there are any teachers who are listening, make it fun for your kids. If you can. Another question I have, Lisa, is how do you prepare for your Monday? Do you have any routines that you have on Sunday or something that you do to get ready for it? Do you have your coffee brewing already so it's ready to go when you wake up?
You know, generally what I do is on a Sunday evening, I will check what my day looks like so that I'm mentally prepared. I get myself prepared in making sure I've got all the documents for work ready, that I know where I've got to be, what meetings I've got to have. And that's how I, you know, make sure that my lunch is made and that my breakfast is ready. So, you know, I can wake up, have the coffee, no stress, no racing around. It's quite easy to get to the office.
Okay, great. So some Sunday preparation is involved so you can plan out your day. You said before that, you know, Mondays are a day that are quite busy for you. Have you purposely set up your Mondays like that?
No, because I would actually prefer that they're not that busy. Because of the job that I do, it's a lot of, you know, sales meetings, team meetings. You know, Monday mornings, I get in, I don't think I sit at my desk for more than half an hour because it's just meeting after meeting after meeting. So it's pretty much dominated by, you know, what, you know, the job that I'm in.
Gotcha. So it's dictated by what your requirements are. I'm interested to know, because you maintain such a demanding job and you obviously have extracurricular stuff that you do, or you have other interests, hobbies, and you've formed an amazing organization called Robert's Wish as well, outside of what you do in quite a demanding environment. I'm curious to know the five people that you spend the most time with, and if you could describe each of those people with one word.
Okay, so the first one would have to be James, my husband, and the word I would use to describe him is quite funny, humorous. Then it would have to be, unfortunately, as you know, we spend most of our time in the office, it would have to be my colleagues. So the first colleague I spend an incredible amount of time with is my co-director, Emma Roberts, and I would have to call her a pleasure. A pleasure to work with, ray of sunshine. Then it would be one of my team, my operation lead, and that would be Ellie. And Ellie is very organized. then I suppose it would be, in fact, you know, after that, I think I would actually spend more time with my two of my best friends. So that would be Cam. She's spiritual. She's a beautiful soul. And Rashmi is very kind.
Nice. So you've got kind, spiritual, beautiful soul, a pleasure, and organized. I would say those words describe you, Lisa, as well.
Thank you.
Well, they say you are a product of the five people that you spend the most time with. So it seems to be true so far in what I've experimented with these conversations. I guess let's turn to a more, I guess, serious side of a conversation. Can we talk about a moment in your life where you made a huge shift in the way that you think? And can you tell me about that experience?
Sure. So I think for me, it would have to be at the passing of a good friend of mine, Robert, who I'm actually, Robert's Wish is named after. I think, you know, his passing really opened my eyes to the difficulties that face the LGBTQ plus community, even more so than I realized. I've always been an ally and a strong ally for the community, but I don't think I quite realize the difficulties that they, you know, that community goes through on a day-to-day basis, just trying to be themselves. So that, I think, it was a life-changing experience for me because it's actually put me on a path where I am now, having started Robert's Wish and having registered in the US and now registered in the UK and ready to get going to fulfill the mission of the charity. So I think that for me is a life-changing event.
You talk a lot about Robert and obviously how he's influenced you in his unfortunate shorter time on Earth. And you touched before about how you didn't like school, and this was pertaining to how a particular teacher taught maths. I'm curious to know what your experiences at school were like. Were they similarly unpleasant?
Up until I was 15, 16, school was fine. I enjoyed school. I had a lot of friends. My family moved from Johannesburg to Durban when I was 15, 16, and that's when school actually changed dramatically for me and became a very unpleasant experience. And that was due to the fact that I experienced a lot of bullying by girls that were in the same year as me, and, you know, quite severe bullying that really did change me from being a very carefree, happy teenager into someone who was very withdrawn and quite angry. So I would say my last 3 years of school were not very pleasant at all.
It's interesting to hear that. I don't want to use the word interesting, but that's the only word that pops into my mind. But like, I look at you now and how successful you've been and how you have this desire to serve and to, you know, make the world a better place in terms of providing resources for youth, primarily LGBT, who are kind of struggling with their identity and struggling to find resources, and also their parents and community as well. It's almost horrific to think that bullying still existed for people like you, but they don't have a happy ending. I'm not saying that you've got a happy ending now, but I'm saying they don't have the journey that you've managed to find the strength to create. Have you found that in your experience?
Yeah, a little bit, yes. I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, friends and people that I've met along the way that were bullied at school in the same, you know, the same generation, if you like, that I was, have been able to take the experience and use that experience for the better, to help others and to, you know, it's put them into a position of service for others, to support others in different avenues, whether it's bullying or LGBTQ youth or simply, you know, helping women in general. So for that, yes, for the younger generations, the youth that I've mentored over the last couple of years, it's more difficult because of the nature of the bullying. It has changed as technology has advanced. And I think it's a lot more difficult for them to escape any type of harassment and bullying, where I was, you know, lucky enough that it was at school. I had a safe haven, you know, at home with my parents. So it's a bit of both from my experience.
Can I ask, Lisa, and you don't have to go into detail, and almost what you're willing to share is going to be perfect, but what, when you mean bullying, like what were the sort of taunts that you experienced, if you're comfortable sharing?
Sure. I've spoken about this many times before. I was spat on.
Ugh.
You know, I was pushed around. There were vicious rumors spread around the high school. I had yogurt emptied into my school bag, so all amongst my books, so everything was full of yogurt. I had, you know, they did stuff to my PE kit. You know, it was relentless. There were lots of name calling. I played a lot of sports at school, and, you know, I'd be viciously tackled, you know, on a hockey pitch. I'd be targeted on a tennis court. There were just various things like that that went on that were going on all the time. I think it was lots of rumors and lots of discussions and name calling. And yeah, I think the worst for me, other than the name calling, was, you know, the physical bullying, which was, you know, being spat on and pushed around.
That's terrible, Lisa. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. How did you manage to overcome that? That sounds awful. I mean, I'm a big fan of yoga, but I don't want it in my backpack.
Definitely not. I was lucky enough at school for those 3 years to have a teacher that really helped me. She offered me a safe haven. She was there for me to talk to if I needed any, just somewhere that I could talk, not specifically about the bullying, but about anything. Because as a result of the bullying, my health suffered quite substantially, and I was in and out of hospital a lot and off ill quite a lot as well. And she always made sure that I got my homework and I was able to keep up with the rest of the class. I think as well, what would help me, I had very supportive parents. They didn't know how to help me in the way that I needed, but I knew that I could, you know, I was safe at home, particularly, you know, with my dad. He didn't understand what was going on, but he did what he could to protect me and to make sure that I was okay. And ultimately, I also saw, you know, I also got counseling. So I also was seeing a psychologist who helped me deal with all of that at the same time. And, it, you know, as this was all going on towards the end of the bullying phase, my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So, you know, there was a lot going on at the time, but I had just kept going. You know, I always knew that I would not stay in the town that I lived in for those 3 years. I was lucky enough to have made some friends as well along the way, and they just pulled you through. You didn't really have a choice. You know, there wasn't any other option.
I'm just amazed at how, like, it seems like you went through quite a bit of time and things were quite intense. Have you ever confronted these girls?
Yes, I did a few of them at the end of school and when I was in university. A couple of them have apologized, and that's fine. I've accepted their apology, and the worst two have not, but I haven't seen them since I left school. So I was determined to use whatever emotion and whatever the experience was in a positive way and not in a negative way. So I forgave them I'll never forget, but I've forgiven them for what happened. And I don't have to see them anymore today. And I'm quite, you know, I'm quite happy on the path I'm on.
Wow. It's a big thing to be able to forgive people who have hurt you in such a way. And it wasn't just a little scratch. It was persistent taunting and bullying. So how did you manage to get to that place of forgiveness? Forgiveness is a very hard thing to execute. And, you know, you hear of many teachings about it. You hear of how it brings you peace. But to actually get to that place of, I forgive you and I no longer hold that anger or resentment for what you've done, it can be quite hard.
It was very difficult. It took a long time. It took a lot of looking at myself. You know, most of my 20s, I was trying to figure out, you know, where I fitted in the world, where I needed to be, you know, exploring different avenues. I just got to the point where I didn't want to hold on to that negativity anymore. It was holding me back. It was making me miserable. It was affecting my life, my relationships, my job. I managed to start letting go when I moved from London to Geneva, Switzerland with my job. And it was a completely new experience and a good time for me to grow emotionally. And it was time for me to let things go. And I did that with the help of a very, very special friend of mine who helped me see the impact it was having and ultimately helped me, you know, to let go. I don't think I would be able to do what I'm doing on Robert's Wish if I hadn't have let go and forgiven.
Wow. I think that's very, very apt. And I think you are a shining example for the other side, positive side of coming around such a traumatic experience. Lisa, just a few more lighter questions. Do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
Hell no.
Why not? I call it efficiency.
No, why do you need your phone when you're in the bathroom? No.
Well, don't you want to, like, look up the latest news, like catch up on your emails? Anything that you need to do?
No, it's my 5 minutes of no electronics.
Well, we all take time out from electronics in certain ways. So you're like, you've got a strictly no phone use in the bathroom.
Yeah, no.
Have you gone that extra step to put up a sign in your bathroom door saying no phones?
Oh, no. No, no, I haven't. It's up to the individual what they want to do.
Fantastic. Lisa, just to summarize, Do you have a mantra or an affirmation that you stick to daily?
Yes, every morning as I'm getting ready, I think about be kind to one another, respect one another. Love is love. And I look at myself and I say, you know, I believe in myself.
Wow. So love is love, be kind to one another, and you believe in yourself.
Yeah. And respect one another. Yeah.
That's fantastic for mantras and affirmations to repeat daily. And have they helped you, would you say, get through the day?
Yes, they've helped me, especially the be kind when I'm having a particularly bad day with a client or someone in my team. It's always to remember to be kind. You never know what that person is going through or what their private life situation is. And it's always just remember you might be very frustrated, but show them some kindness because it could make the hugest bit of difference to them. Anybody, whether it's work, friends, strangers.
I think that advice is actually timeless. I think you can apply that now, and I think you can apply that to when you're at school and before that too.
Definitely.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure getting to know you on this sort of level. I do work closely with you on Robert's Wish, and I'm really, really proud to be a part of that. But it's been lovely getting to know your mindset, what you say each day, and some of the experiences that you've gone through that I had no idea about. So thank you so much for sharing those with me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for the chat.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
The Scrabble Go Guide to Learning New Words. Quizzical, your dad's face when he hasn't got enough vowels. Skeptical, your mom's face when you try to say small is a word. Belligerent, how your brother feels when he doesn't win. Vocabulary, what you all build when you play Scrabble Go together. Everyone's a winner with Scrabble Go, the fun brain training game you can play with family wherever you are. Available on Android and iOS. Download Scrabble Go today.